The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Now, the show that's all hockey. The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub, hour number two here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers with you from the Town Fair Tire Studios. Your calls welcome at 617-779-0985. Billy Jaffe will join us coming up at the final half hour of the show today. We'll talk about some things going on around the league. And we thank Charlie Coyle for taking some time to join us here on a Saturday morning as well in our last segment. And just, you know, as we talk about this team overall, you know, what are your impressions of Charlie Coyle this year? I think, you know, I had some questions coming into the season about, you know, how he would fit on that second line, but 6 goals through 17 games so far. Beersy, I think you mentioned in the, during the discussion that he's shooting the puck more. You know, that definitely is standing out in his game in the early part of the season.
Oh, I mean, he's been good. He's been good. I don't think that's ever been the question. You know, he had some injury problems last year. The question, you know, earlier in the season was, or, you know, what's the chemistry going to be like? And that's why, you know, I kind of asked him that. And, you know, he's had different right wingers. He actually was on the right wing for a little while earlier in the season when they had some injury issues. When he had a couple guys down on the right side. So Foligno was down, Smith was down, so they had to move Coyle over to the right side, and that's when Sudnicka got a chance, and when Nosek moved up. So they had some different looks, you know, earlier in the year. You know, lately Smith has been healthy, Foligno's been healthy, so they've tried to find that chemistry now, trying to kind of get going. So I don't think it was ever a question as does Charlie Coyle have the ability. I mean, I told you, I'm a big fan of the way that he plays. I think he rounds out a team really well. The question I had was, what is that chemistry going to look like with Taylor Hall? And I do think it's coming. I mean, he sent Hall in a breakaway yesterday. Nice pass through the neutral zone. Got Hall in full flight. I think that's really important to get him, like, when he's really moving and getting him the puck at the right time when he's really moving through the ice, you know, through the neutral zone. You know, can be, because it backs the D off. It's a threat every time. You know, once they get in the, you know, offensive zone, that's a little bit different how they read off of one another, because Coyle really likes to hold onto the puck and put people on his back and protect it and then find the right guy. You know, they can work that cycle down low. Foligno had a nice pass out to Coyle in the third period yesterday, where he tried to go blocker side and Shesterkin fought it off. So that hasn't been, you know, his individual ability and the fact that he is shooting the puck more, no question. I mean, he is. There's no question he is. I'm just going on eye test. I don't have the stats in front of me, you know, compared to last year.
I think I looked at it. I think he's got more than half the shots that he had last year.
He ripped one against Spencer Knight against Florida. You know, top shelf, beautiful shot. He ripped one the other day against Dell, against the Buffalo Sabres. Top shelf, short side. He had that against Montreal, where he comes in, he lifts the stick, he gets in tight and goes top shelf. Like, beautiful goal, beautiful finish, you know. And then he had the ugly one too. You get a greasy one, you go to the net, right? I mean, if Petrie tried to clear it, it goes off of his face and in, but you're gonna get some of those. And I like what he said about, if I'm not scoring, you know, maybe you get some assists off of it, because other guys are going to the net and getting to those pucks. And I do think that the power play has been a real threat lately. That unit, his unit, which we'll call the second unit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that that's logical. They've been a real threat here recently. And, you know, the addition of, you get Smith now in the bumper where he can get that shot away, or Coyle. Yeah, they're interchangeable there, but Smith's mostly there. You know, DeBrusk had a nice pass to Smith yesterday for a chance. You know, Coyle's working down low, trying to retrieve pucks. You know, Grizz look out high. You know, and they've been able to, and Hall over on the left side, so his strong side. You know, where he had the goal the other day against Buffalo, you know, top shelf. So I think that unit's starting to come around a little bit too, which is, you know, double threat for them. And they're one of the top power plays in the league right now as it is. You know, top 10. They were seventh, I think, mm-hmm. going into yesterday. Mm-hmm. So as a tandem. So that's another threat for them offensively.
I think with Craig Smith, he mentioned when he talked about the second unit with us the other day, they realize they're not going to be out there for a long time. So as soon as they get out there, they got to get right to it. And they've been able to do that. And it's a much more simple, direct power play because they haven't necessarily played together as much as the first unit. It's not as many switches. There's not as much rotation. But what they have done is they've made up for it with their simplicity. Back to Beersey's point about Charlie Coyle in that line. And Nick Foligno had mentioned it the other day when we chatted in Buffalo that they are still learning, and it's not just Coyle and Hall, but now it's the threesome. Okay, where do I need to be to support one another, to bring the best out of this group? How do we bring this threesome together and combine some of our efforts in order to bring the best out of us? Because I think at times we've seen some... Listen, Charlie Coyle's had a terrific start to the season. I think we've seen flashes here from Taylor Hall. I thought he had a strong game there yesterday. He was definitely noticeable with some chances. But as a group, they're still figuring out, okay, where do I need to be to help you and support one another? I think that's something that they're still figuring out.
Well, you know, and speaking about kind of the groupings, you know, Coyle and Hall have been together for the most part this year. But as you mentioned, there's been change on that other wing. You know, Craig Smith struggled at the beginning of the year going through an injury. You know, Bruce Cassidy made that very clear that, you know, he needed some time off, took a couple of games off. Then they had that 5-day stretch where everybody was off. Since then, he's come back. He started putting points on the board at a, you know, a pretty good week. I think 4 points this week. Nick Foligno, a couple of assists in Buffalo the other night. What do you see out of those two guys, and which do you think ultimately is the best option on that right wing on the second line?
I'm not sure yet. I don't know. Well, they've done some tinkering. Let's roll it back for a second. You mentioned Smith moved down to the third line. Let's call it the third line, with DeBrusk on the left and who in the middle? Nosek the last two games, almost a game plus, you know, 2.5 periods. Hala was there for the first part of the year, so who fits better in the middle there, right? And then you kind of work on the wings as well. You know, I think that they like, I think they like what they've seen from. I mean, Smith back, and I don't know if he's 100%, but he's back and he looks like Craig Smith from last year. I mean, he's. You know, he's moving. The shot is there. What a shot he had yesterday to start it off for the Bruins. You know, ripped it on Shesterkin there in the first period. Had a great shot against Philadelphia, right? So I think that was his first goal of the season, where he went top shelf, short side, coming down the right wing when he had some separation from the D, protects the puck and gets that shot. So, you know, who fits best where is still a work in progress. And Foligno came off an injury as well. You know, he's playing his off wing, which is fine. But, you know, how does he work? How does he mesh with Coyle and Hall? And I don't think we've seen enough of it to make a final, you know, decision. But we just mentioned some of the chances they generated for themselves yesterday. Mm-hmm. And chances eventually lead to goals. When you're not getting the chances, things go stale and you've got to make some changes, or you've got to make some tweaks within. And right now, the chances were there for them yesterday. Now it's a matter of finish. And they have finished at times. I mean, I know Foligno isn't on the board yet. He's got a couple of assists. He'd like to put one in, and he's been around the net. He'll go to the net. He'll try to get some of those greasy ones. I think, you know, he gets one or two, all of a sudden things might open up a bit for them as well. And Hall's, you know, same thing for him. You know, he had jump yesterday. He had good jump yesterday, Taylor Hall did. And over the last few games, I think, actually, for the most part, you know, and it – you need more than one line threat. We already know that. We've already talked about that. But We've also talked about them having that right wing, a little continuity on the right wing. I think they've got more of that this year. You know, the goals have been there, right? I don't think goal scoring's been, maybe at times it's been a little bit of an issue, but I think the goals have been there for this team. And you're still going to need that top line to perform, but I think that they've settled in on these right wingers if they stay healthy as of right now.
I want to just go back to Coyle in particular, because Bruce Cassidy mentioned it with us the other day when he talked during the coaches show that, listen, he and David Krejci are different players. So if he's able to lock down that second line position, it's going to look different than what it was for a long time with David Krejci. Listen, if Charlie Coyle continues to shoot the puck, which he's talked about, which the Bruins are urging him to do, here early in the season, he's on close to a 30-goal pace. David Krejci never had 30 goals. When he played here with the Bruins, where he was really adept at is his ability to set guys up, to be able to dish out assists and put guys in great positions to score. So it will look different if Charlie Coyle nails down that spot with Taylor Hall.
You brought up the kind of the tinkering with the lines as far as the center position goes, the third, fourth line centers. Halla, Noshek, you know, moving guys back and forth, still trying to figure out exactly what works. What is your opinion on Noshek, first of all, and what he brings to the table as, you know, a guy who is trying to find exactly where he fits in the lineup, but what do you think he brings on a nightly basis and how has he been able to impact the team in the early going here?
He's been kind of a, he's been as advertised, first of all. You know, he's a big, strong guy. He plays, he's not slow. You know, I don't think he's a speed burner by any means, but he does, you know, he's not slow. He makes plays. He's capable of making plays, and I think he's a valuable fourth-line center and a guy that can move up and play, you know, in a pinch on some different lines if you're trying to tweak things, you know, and he can play center and wing. So he's been good on the penalty kill. The Bruins, in general, have been really good on the penalty kill, especially on home ice. They've got good numbers on home ice. Thought, you know, his line was part of a mistake that was made yesterday in the third period that led to that 3-on-2. But, you know, there were other things that could have been done better as well off the rush. So there was, you know, that's nitpicking. You know, mistakes are made, right? I go back to the same point. Mistakes are made. But I think he's been as advertised. You know, I think Eric Hall has to be better. There's no question about it. You know, he's had good games. He's had a couple good games. I go back to that game against the Flyers. I thought it was a really strong game for that line when he was playing with DeBrusque and Smith. And they generated, Forsberg had a goal on a nice little rush by them, but they also had a goal where they win a battle and get the puck up to Smith, and that was his first goal of the season. But Hall needs to be better in a few different areas right now in terms of his pace and where he's at in his game. So, you know, you bring in new guys. You bring in two new centermen. Your third and fourth line are two new centermen. And how are they going to adapt to this system? How are they going to adapt to their line mates? How are they going to adapt to the city? You know, everything. You know, your teammates. It's sometimes it takes a little time, and you're hoping that maybe a slow start leads to better things to come for a guy like Hall.
I'll be interested to see what Bruce Cassidy does at practice today. So the Bruins are going to go through a full practice before they face off against the Vancouver Canucks tomorrow, and what changes, if any, he's going to make. Because the other thing that he has with, whether it's Noshek or Halla or some of the other guys that populate his third and fourth lines, is he's got some versatility. He can move Lazar from the wing back to the middle. He can move Halla to the wing. He can move Noshek to the wing.
Now, Frederick should be healthy, too. They were talking about him getting a practice or two in. Now he's got to be... If he's not ready, he's got to be close. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's an option.
So
I thought Steen played well when he came up. I thought he fared very well, you know, in his role. You know, it's not somebody to be overlooked. You know, he was a kind of a victim of numbers game once they got all the right wingers back.
And the numbers in Providence and the reports that you get out of Providence talking to the coaching staff there have been very good for a guy like Oscar Steen. So that's certainly promising here for the Bruins, the way he was able, even at his size, to get inside, to battle, to win one-on-one pucks, and he's hard to play against, even though he's not the biggest guy.
Fluta Schinzauer wrote for The Athletic this week about the center position in this organization. And, you know, there was a quote in there from an NHL executive that said, you know, the cupboard is bare as far as centers go. You know, but in particular, the name that comes up there is Stadnica. And, you know, while we've seen him in, you know, in certain circumstances, they haven't really gone with an extended run with him. Is that something that you think they might do at some point this year, bring him up and give him some time at the center position and an extended look to see if this kid's got it at the NHL level?
I think the hardest thing for a player that's trying to make it is to be yo-yoed up and down from the NHL to the American Hockey League. I know that they tried to be patient and have him play, you know, a full year or so down in Providence, mm-hmm. maybe give him a taste. That's different. But you're up, down, up, down, up, down. And when you're up, you're not playing. Or when you're up, you're playing less than 10 minutes for an offensive player. That's hard. But you're in the business of winning games when you're up here.
Right.
So as a coach, you've got to try to balance that. You know, the development comes down there. You can still develop up here. But that's hard mentally for a player to accept. When you get called up, you get put in a game, you play 10 minutes or less, you make a mistake or two, then you're out the lineup the next game, then you're sent down it's hard. It really is. It's difficult. But so from a mental standpoint, making that jump is something that the organization takes into consideration, and they all try to do it the right way. And, you know, they know Jack Studnicka better than we do. So they're working with that. And so I think not a bad thing. Okay, get him back down in Providence. His numbers are, I'm just looking at numbers. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen him play. So numbers can sometimes be completely skewed, you know, based on the way you're playing. But they're okay, right? He's had 2 goals and 5 points in 10 games, which is you know half a point a game. That's fine. He's capable of more than that, right? So get him down there, get him playing full time. Let's see where he's at. And then as we move along in the season, now we look at him again. But is the cupboard bare? I don't know. I mean, Studnicka's there, still a possibility. Beecher's had some injury issues. He's playing at Michigan. You know, he's a first round pick. Frederick was a first round pick as a centerman. You know, here's their centermen who are first round picks. Studnicka was a second round pick. Sorry, but they've got a couple other guys who they're looking hard at. But right now, it's they don't have anybody ready to step in this second, other than maybe Studnicka. And we've seen Jack, and I don't know if he's quite there yet.
He's only played one full year, and even then, it was shortened because
right.
that was the start of the pandemic. So he played 60 games in the American Hockey League. And then last year when he came up, to Beersey's point, he's not even playing the middle. He's playing the right side. And that's a completely different adjustment. And we've seen him here in a smattering of games. So he's played 4 this season with the Bruins. We've seen him sometimes at center and a few times on the wing. I think the hardest thing for general managers, organizations, sometimes even ownership, is to have patience with some of these prospects that you want to be able to draft and develop. You know, you want to rush them up, and everybody sometimes gets to the National Hockey League a little faster for different reasons, whether it's need, maybe it could be money. But if you can, give them the opportunity to mature and find their game at the American Hockey League level. I know that, you know, the three of us have all spent a long time in the crabapple, and we all, I think, are on the same page that you can certainly benefit by playing as much as you can at that level.
There's no doubt. I guess from the organizational perspective, the bigger question is, well, you know, if Halla isn't playing up to par or where, you know, what his expectations would be, would you rather have a guy like that in the lineup, or would you rather be giving a young guy a more consistent look and a chance to find his game at the NHL level? It's like if Hall is not producing, you know, I'd almost rather that spot be going to Studnicka on a more regular basis.
But Hall has produced in the past, and that's something that, you know, and Judd pointed it out, like he had a slow start, was it last year, or, you know, and then he kind of picked it up. And so, you know, are you giving up after 17 games? No, he might, you know, maybe they shake it up and he sits out a game. But mm-hmm. but I don't think you're giving up per se. But I think that there's some different options that they have that are here right now. And who knows? Maybe they surprise us and make some other changes. But right now, it's for Studnicka, it's a matter of playing. get down there, play on a regular basis, get your game back, get your game, get your comp. I don't know if there's a confidence thing or not. I'm not sure. Try to get some of that confidence back and play the way that you're capable of. All the whole talk this, you know, he came in and he had a pretty good camp. I put on weight, I put on muscle. Okay. Now does it translate into the regular season? And, you know, the games that he played, probably not as much. I mean, they'd like to see him succeed, trust me, but it's, you know, it's a matter of doing it once the game starts.
Yeah, and for Eric Halla, I think for most guys, if they're having a hard time, what coaches will usually say to players like that, oh, okay, find your identity. What got you here to the National Hockey League? And typically, it's been his feet. He's a streaky scorer. He's not necessarily a true finisher by any stretch.
But does he look like he's playing fast? It doesn't.
No.
He's not.
No, and that's, I think, you know, okay, you've got to be able to find that and be able to influence the play with your feet and start to set up some guys. In the past, he's been known as a streaky scorer, so maybe if he gets one, he can get a few more. I think that the Bruins were hoping when he got his first that maybe that would jumpstart him. So 2 years ago with Carolina, 12 goals in 41 games. Okay, multiply that times two, that's a 20-goal scorer. I think that's what you'd love to have on your second line, but he has to get back to the player
line.
That... Or on your third line, it has to, you have to get back to what got you here to the National Hockey League.
617-779-0985. If you would like to join us, we've got more to come here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Listening to the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. We go up until 11 o'clock here on a Saturday morning. Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers with you. And it is now time for Who's Heating Up on the Ice, brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services. Go to rodenheiser.com today to book your annual heating system check to make sure your home is warm all hockey season long. Anybody standing out to you guys individually this week, guys? Is somebody who's starting to feel it out there?
Well, let's go Coyle. He was nice enough to come on with us this morning, you know, after a loss yesterday and getting ready for practice here today. Another game tomorrow against Vancouver. Like the way he's played well, right? I mean, we talked about his season so far. So, I don't know. Who am I missing, Judd?
I mean, Marcy's got points in 10 of his last 11. I mean, you can always throw him in there.
He's just hot. He's just never heating up. He's just
Bergeron in there just about every game, right?
Boy, how nice was that tic-tac-toe passing yesterday?
Great. It was a great face-off play. I mean, you have so many possibilities when you know you're going to win the draw. Or, you're almost certain you're going to win the draw. And they don't run just face-off plays in the offensive end. I mean, they run these face-off plays off of neutral zone faceoffs, ones that are off of center ice just to start a game where they've had some good looks.
Oh, yeah.
But, no, they'll run these offensive zone faceoffs, and a lot of times, and look who they have out there, right? I mean, it's, you know, you get an offensive zone draw, you know, McAvoy and Grizzlick are going to see a lot of those just because, you know, they're probably your best. I know Grizzlick has struggled a little bit to find some points this year, certainly some goals, but, you know, he ducks down all the way, you know, back door. New York Rangers get completely lost in their coverage. Really, I mean, I think it was three guys chasing Marchand up high that time. And, you know, McAvoy makes that pass down one, and then Marchand makes a great look down low. And now he got a two-on-one in front of the net. And the fact that, you know, Grizzly gets it and he doesn't dust it off, he knows exactly what he wants to do with it when that puck gets to him. And Shesterkin's got to slide to his right expecting that puck, you know, the shot there from Grizzly, and he moves it right between the feet or right past Trouba, who's coming over, and he was left hung out to dry. Trouba was, so was Shesterkin. I mean, it's a great setup goal, but and I will say this, it wasn't a clean faceoff win by Bergeron. He had a little help, I believe, it was from Pastrnak to get that puck back to McAvoy. So sometimes it's not clean. A lot of times with Bergeron it is. But sometimes you need help from those wingers, and he got it there.
Bergeron yesterday, 8 for 11 on faceoffs in the offensive zone, 5 out of 6 in the D zone yesterday. I mean, it's...
The only issue the Bruins had with the faceoffs were off of the icings. That cost him a couple of times. But getting back to that goal that that Bergeron scored last night, nice to see that dish from Matt Grizzlick. That's a guy I think Bruce Cassidy would like to see to get going. Last night, that was his third point of the season. They've been all assists. But, you know, this was a guy last year, if you want to multiply the numbers, and remember, he dealt with a couple of different injuries, but in 37 games, he had 5 goals and 20 points. There's some offensive production back there that I think is available from a guy like Matt Grizzlick, and we've seen a little bit of an uptick recently in the production from the back end from the Bruins. I think there's some more in there.
We've talked a little bit about the pairings this year, and you know they've kind of, it's been Grizzlick with McAvoy sometimes, it's been Forbert with McAvoy sometimes. They've kind of moved these guys around. Where's the best spot for Grizzlick? Is it on that top pairing? Is it with one of the other guys? Do we still not really know where he fits best on this team this year?
I think he fits well with McAvoy. There's no question. I think if things are going well, like him and Carlo can form a pretty good bond as well. I don't think that they've been as strong this year together. Some of the question may be, where does everybody else fit, right? You know, is Forbert the best fit for McAvoy, or is he the better fit for Carlo? And you try to have that. That's what they're trying right now. Is that working? It's only been a couple of games, so it's kind of hard to tell. You know, worked against Buffalo. So, you know, now you got to see what it's like against, you know, over a little period of time here. You got Vancouver coming in tomorrow. By all accounts, they had a better game against Columbus, but they still come out on the short end. They lose 4-2. They've really struggled this season, and the Vultures are circling, right? They're waiting to see what's going to happen, what shoe falls there. So look at another team below you coming in. You got Detroit, who has had a good record on home ice. This is on Tuesday. They've had a good record on home ice, but on the road they've struggled. And the Bruins took care of them when they were here. Mm-hmm. Now, they were without Dylan Larkin that game, and I think Larkin means quite a bit to that team when he's in there. So
he's heating up.
Yeah. Was Bertuzzi in that game?
He was.
Yeah, Bertuzzi did play that game. That's right, he was. So Bertuzzi just couldn't play in the Canadian games. That's right. He missed those Canadian games, the Canadian teams. So, you know, when they got the kid Raymond, who's had an outstanding start to the season, I'm moving ahead a couple games, I know, but these two teams that are – I know Detroit's ahead of you in the standings technically by points, but they're not.
But you got like 5 games
hand
on them, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So especially on home ice, you need to take care of those two teams the next couple of games, and we'll go from there. But tomorrow first with Vancouver.
I know everybody likes to point to Thanksgiving on the NHL calendar. Are you in the playoffs at Thanksgiving? And because of the schedule for the Bruins and because they played so few games.
Well, the season started late, first of all.
The season started late. If you went by points percentage, the Bruins would have had the last playoff spot in the East.
Right. All right. We will talk about some things going on around the NHL with Billy Jaffe of Nesson and the NHL Network coming up next here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
If you really love hockey, this is your show.
They score!
The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Back here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show, 98.5 The Sports Hub, Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers with you in the Town Fair Tire Studios. And now we welcome in our friend Billy Jaffe, who covers the Bruins on NESN, the NHL on NHL Network. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. What's up, Billy?
Happy Thanksgiving post. I hope everybody's doing great and enjoyed. Been able to catch most of the show this morning, so been enjoying it while doing some stuff here in the office.
Well, Bruins coming off the loss to the Rangers yesterday. We've talked a lot about that game this morning. Just what are your overall thoughts on the Rangers? And they've gotten off to an excellent start this year. You know, the last few years, obviously, it's been, you know, there's been a lot of turnover in that organization. Looks like they've figured it out and they're headed in the right direction here.
They definitely have a nice vibe around them. You know, RJ, the way that they're young players, whether it's, you know, they're being patient with Kako and Lafreniere, but they're getting performances from other guys. Obviously, Panarin is a big, you know, big name for them, but they're just getting some nice, I feel like some nice depth performances. They're playing with pace. I mean, in the first period, how many rebounds did Shesterkin give up? And maybe even the second, too, started losing count. But he makes some saves. He just does overall. I mean, they've got, a belief that he's their bedrock, you know, that he's going to be he is the heir apparent to Henrik Lundqvist, and they feel good about him. Gerard Gallant brought in to be more of a player's coach that let the guys have more control of the room and let them do some different things and bring in some more team toughness. And, you know, they look good right now. I can't tell you. I think it may have been Bob earlier in the show said right now, you know, you're talking about the Rangers, better record, obviously looking good down the road. Do they have some hiccups? I don't know if they're there just yet, RJ, they're being a great team. I think they're on their way to being a very good team, but I'm not sure if this year is the year, but they're believing right now. And their fans are appreciating it. I mean, they're on a nice stretch. They've won three in a row, and I think it's 6 or 7 of 8 right now.
Billy, you know, while we're talking about New York, what's happened to the Islanders this year? 5-10-2. I know they've gone through, you know, they started the year on that hellacious road trip because the arena wasn't going to be ready and all of that, but they've lost 8 in a row.
Yeah, I mean, they finished their road trip with the 13 games on the road, losing. It was the last four. They had Minnesota, then Jersey, Tampa, and Florida. I thought maybe they'd go down to the Florida swing with two games left, and they would, you know, if they could find a way to go 1-0-1 or at least 1-1 there, they'd finish the road trip, and you'd be like, okay, not too bad, a little over 500, and this 13-game road trip, and as they waited for UBS Arena to get finished. And then they go down there and they lay an egg. Not only they lay an egg, they start having COVID issues. So much so that Josh Bailey, who got it, had to stay down there until 2 days ago, until he was able to clear quarantine. And then a lot of other players got it. They have been in an absolute black hole of COVID-19 right now. They've been calling up players that, quite, I got to be honest with you, I've never heard of from Bridgeport in the American Hockey League. And, you know, Barry Trotz mentioned just yesterday, this is the hardest thing that he's probably ever faced in his coaching career. And that includes being with an expansion team in Nashville 2 decades ago. So, and I think a lot of that has to do with the expectations for this team, the way that everybody thought they'd be back at least to the Eastern Final, if not even a cup contender. But between injuries and then COVID and then starting on the road, and by the way, starting on the road, even though they lost their first couple on the road, they then won 3 of 4. They started to get it together. But this team defensively, you know, they don't have Taves anymore. He's gone with Colorado. They don't have Letty anymore. So their depth D, whether it was, you know, a Green or a Dobson or a Chara, it's not the same. And I think that that's definitely prohibited them from being early on as good a team as some of people thought they would be. And they had goaltending injury too to Varlamov. So overall, not a great start. And they're finding themselves, I think it was Judd talking about the Metropolitan Division. I mean, that is a tough, tough, tough division. And they're finding themselves not on the outside looking in. I'm talking the cellar looking up. And I don't – it's going to take an epic run for them to get back in it right now. They're 12 points. The next team above them, Philly's at 20 points. And Philly's out of the playoffs by about 4 right now.
I'll add on to that Ryan Pulock injury. You mentioned Varlamov, and since he's been back, he has not been good. His numbers are terrible, but they can't score. They've got 32 goals in 17 games. They got beat 1-0 yesterday by the Penguins. Barzal has had an awful start to the season. You know,
Palmieri,
one goal.
Palmieri, I mean, go down the list, right? They can't score, and guys that they've counted on to be there offensively for them, just I mean, well, it's one thing or another, right? It's the COVID, it's the injuries, it's the road trip, it's the Varlamov coming back, it's the lack of scoring. Their power play is, you know, abysmal. They're terrible on the power play. So, you know, and when you lose, I mean, they've been getting shut out all week, or one goal where they score. You know, during this losing streak, what is it, 8 games now? I want to say, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, I want to say they have 7 goals in the 8 games. And they've all been in regulation losses.
Yeah. I don't remember the exact amount of goals, but I know it's nothing. You're right. I mean, I mentioned Palmieri, he's got one goal. Bailey, I know he's been out for a while. He only had one goal before he went out. Pageau, one goal. Parise, who's played now in 17 games, no goals. I know it's, you know, and Beers, the question is, again, not only can they not score, but are they even be able to get the puck up to their forwards? And you know as well, we talked about this during the playoffs, they love the chip and recover, the hammer, right? They get it in deep. They dump the puck more than any other team in the National Hockey League statistically over the last 2-3 seasons. They haven't been able to do that as much. They also haven't been able to get it out of their own zone nearly as much. You look at this team, and yes, you say a lot of things working against them, because I still thought they'd be better, but when you put it all together, this concoction is pretty bad looking or bad tasting right now.
Billy, Braden Point out of the lineup for 4 to 6 weeks, it sounds like, with an injury down in Tampa. Of course, they're also dealing with other injuries down there as well. How big of an impact do you think those will have?
Well, I got to imagine. I mean, look, he's one of the better players in the entire National Hockey League, Braden Point. But the performances they're getting from, I mean, how good has Steven Stamkos been this year? Alex Killorn has picked it up. I'm a big fan of Anthony, or they, as they call him, Tony Cirelli down there. A great two-way centerman that can really have a big impact, I think, in games. I still think it will be big, yet their team is built on depth. I know they lost their entire third line, RJ, to free agency and expansion. Yet they seem to have enough, like little subtle additions of Pierre-Edouard Belmar, Corey Perry. They still have, obviously Pat Maroon. But, they find a way. For a team that has drafted so low, you know, many years, their drafting has been excellent. You know, they bring up guys that second-round picks, third-round picks, fourth-round picks, kid like this Ross Colton kid who fills a void for them. They do it really well. When it's all said and done, though, I can't imagine that there won't be some games, RJ, where they look at it and they say, boy, we could have used one of the best centermen in the league in Braden Point. He's a special player. Now, they find themselves, you know, still very much in the thick of things in the Atlantic Division. I believe they're 3 points, 4 points, I beg your pardon, behind Toronto, but they've got 3 games in hand right now. So percentage-wise, they're still doing pretty well at 7-11.
Billy, the Washington Capitals, that's one of those teams that just, boy, they just keep on rolling, right? 8-1-1 over the course of their last 10, tied atop the Metro Division with Carolina. Just same old down in Washington, right?
Well, no, it isn't same old, same old. Because last year, Evgeny Kuznetsov perhaps had the most give a heck attitude in the National Hockey League. Now, he did have COVID, but, they were not happy with him at all. And right now, Kuznetsov has been outstanding for them. Same thing along with, obviously, Alexander Ovechkin. And Ovechkin is, you know, producing at even strength. He's producing not off his patented one-timer. He's producing off of tips and recoveries and shots from in front of the net. And I feel like it's different. I mean, let's not forget that they're still missing TJ Oshie. And there was some question about their goaltending between Vanecek. Remember, he was taken by the by the Kraken, and then they traded him back. I believe it was for a second round pick. This team is 7 wins in their last 10, just one regulation loss. I beg your pardon, 8-1-1 in their last 10. And they've picked it up an awful lot. They're getting pretty good performances all around. So I would kind of argue that it's not the same old thing, because I feel like, RJ, they're doing it a little differently right now. But to me, you know, you look at Kuznetsov, you look at Ovechkin, and those two guys are beasts right now for them.
So we're going to see the Vancouver Canucks tomorrow. I don't know how much you've had a chance to see them. I haven't had a chance to watch them yet. That's what today is a little bit about. But I'm just curious, just looking at the roster, they have only 6 wins, I think, here on the season. I mean, they're not only off the rails, into the ditch, spilled their drink. I mean, why is it this bad?
Oh, boy. You talk about a fandom that is going crazy there. I have watched them a bit, Judd, at times, if only because they have a lot of late games. And you're right, they only have 6 wins on the season. And let's not forget, Travis Green was signed to an extension before this year. There was some question, would he or wouldn't he be signed? I mean, their depth, their team D is bad right now. It is real bad. Their penalty kill, their special teams, not good. They're not getting offense. Like, Thatcher Demko's been under fire. He's been great for them, but he has been completely bombarded, like that goalie in the old Mighty Ducks movie early on. I mean, he has been absolutely throttled at times with shot attempts. I look at this team, and, you know, JT Miller is their most consistent player. I don't remember where he's been at. I mean, he's been doing great for them this year. He's been putting it on the line every night. But besides him, it has been you're talking about Pettersson and Hughes that were both signed to contract extensions before the season. And while Quinn Hughes has his points, he hasn't been great for him. He did play well last night against Pitt. I watched the condensed game of that. He played well. He's got, I'm looking it up right now, he's got 15 points now. But, I mean, Pettersson, supposed to be a cornerstone franchise player for them, he's been perimeter and soft, and he has been non-existent for them. It's not a well-constructed team. Don't forget, they also made a trade for Ekman-Larsson and Connor Garland. Connor Garland has produced some points for him, but Ekman-Larsson has just kind of been, I think, what he was in Arizona, Judd. More
of the
same.
Contract.
Contract's going to
be
an albatross. Yeah, I look at this team, and especially their depth, it's not great, and their back end again, not great. And, I mean, the Bruins, this is one of those games. They better win. They better win. If they, you know, this is playing in Arizona, playing a Buffalo. You have to win these games.
We'll also see, you know, the Bruins have already seen the Red Wings this year, but we'll also see the Nashville Predators this week. How has their early part of the season gone? What are the expectations long-term, do you think, for that team?
I got to admit, they're playing better than I thought that they would. I didn't have this team battling for a playoffs. But they're 5-3, I believe, in their last 8 games right now. Yeah, they are. They're 5-3. They're, you know, UC Saros is playing well. They're getting a kind of a bounce back performance from Forsberg. He's starting to play better. I mean, Roman Josi is an excellent defenseman, all around type defenseman. But, you know, they're a team that I got to be honest with you. I didn't have them challenging for a playoff spot. And in that division, RJ, they're doing better. And I don't remember their record against the Bruins, but they always seem to play the Bruins tough in Nashville. But right now, they're in the Central Division. They are tied for third spot behind Minnesota and, well, technically St. Louis. Actually, they're tied for the second spot at 57.5 win percentage. But they're 6-3-1 in their last 10 games. So they're a team that. I still don't love their jerseys. Not that that really matters much. I know, especially those, they're not gold, they're mustard yellow helmets, but they're a team that, I mean, I thought that they'd be down with Dallas. I did. I thought they'd be down there. I thought they'd be down with Chicago. And yet right now they're up there. Do I feel like they'll be there in the end? I'm not convinced they are, because I still think Colorado, a team that is turned it on as of late. Will catapult up. And even though Winnipeg, Winnipeg's lost their last four games in a row. I thought they'd be, you know, above two. And I think when it's all said and done, they'll probably be better than Nashville.
Billy, we appreciate the time as always. Look forward to seeing you on Nesson this week, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
All right, guys. Be good.
Billy Jaffe, NHL Network, and Nesson joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. That'll do it for this week's edition of the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. The Bruins back in action tomorrow night. Judd and Bob will have the call as they take on the Vancouver Canucks over at the Garden. Tune in for that. And hopefully you'll tune in next Saturday for another edition of the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Stick around for Gasper and Murray coming up next.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.